on today's Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
That's why I said at the beginning of this talk, be committed every morning of your life, fully, totally, to your husband that God has given you. Whether he is faithful or not is totally irrelevant. You're only responsible for your own attitude. He's responsible to God for his. And what we need to do is to commit. What we need to do is to build an altar and make a covenant with our eyes. What we need to do is to build an altar and meet with our husband there and reaffirm the fact we can be trusted out of sight.
You and you alone are responsible for your attitude and commitment to your spouse. Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe shares part two of her message, Queen of Your Husband's Heart, and she gets going coming up. It's easy to get caught up in the magic of what you think marriage might be, only to meet reality and come crashing back to earth with a resounding marital thud. That's why we want to send you Pete Briscoe's new fantastic series, The Secrets to a Successful Marriage. It's our way of saying thanks for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Call 1-800-889-5388 and request The Secrets to a Successful Marriage. Our number again is 1-800-889-5388. Now back to Proverbs 31 for the second half of Jill's message, Queen of Your Husband's Heart.
When I look at the Proverbs 31 woman and man, and certainly about her, there is that contentment. Her children called her blessed, happy, and the word is contented, fulfilled, filled up, full, fulfilled, filled full. That's contentment. And that's what I believe women are looking for today. They're looking for peace of mind. They're looking for contentment. And only God can give it. And it isn't in things. They are possessors of things, but God could trust them with things. He does have people he can trust who have the gift of giving, the gift of generosity. You know, the Bible says, don't give grudgingly, don't give of necessity, but give hilariously. And there are some people that are hilarious givers. They cannot wait to make it, to give it away. And they have this generosity of spirit. And when you look at the Proverbs 31 woman, that's how it is. The money she is making, strengthening her arms, getting out there, doing it, buying it, looking at it, trading, is used for her family, for her servants, for the poor. It's used for the society. She's a giver. And that brings contentment. Now in Philippians, Paul says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances, in need or in plenty, when I'm fed or I'm hungry. I have learned the secret of being content in every and any situation. Did you notice that word, I've learned? Did you know contentment can be learned? Are you sitting there thinking, well, I'm not content, or I'm sort of content, or I'm half content, or quarter content, and maybe if I just sit around, I'll be content. It'll fall from heaven and fill me up. It can be learned. And who's going to teach you? I don't know. I don't know who the teacher's going to be. Maybe the teacher would be a death in the family. Maybe the teacher would be a husband that left you, or a difficult marriage, or a child that isn't doing very well with learning disabilities, or worse, in the teenage years when you discover drugs in the top drawer. I don't know who or what the teacher is going to be. But that's school. And you know, as we raise our children in this incredibly materialistic society, we need to remember that, and we need to fight for the simplicity of the lifestyle. We need to de-accumulate. Every time we start to accumulate, say to yourself, now what can I de-accumulate? If I possess something, I need to give something away. We need to think of simplified fun for our children instead of spending the earth entertaining them. We need to use the park system. We need to use the best things in life that are free. We really need to build into our children the knowledge that contentment does not come with accumulation, or they will grow up with a greed need, and that's not the way to go. And when I look at this woman, I see the generosity, the giving, the insistence of giving, and I am guilty so often of not having that attitude, that gratitude attitude that leads me to live like that. So we have complementary couple. We have a contented couple maximizing their potential with their gifting. And they don't compare, I'm sure, with what others have. Something you can help yourself with. Have you noticed you only compare up, never down? You know, if you're going to compare what you have with someone else, you always compare with someone else that's got more than you have. Try making a little mental exercise to compare down. We never do it. Oh, I've got something they don't have. That sort of really helps. And I know that with my trips to Cambodia and Colombia, I remember coming back from Cambodia, being with people that had lost every single one of their family, coming back to a family and being grateful for that, thankful. Going to Colombia and being thankful for the safety that we enjoy and the police force that we have. And I think thankfulness, being thankful, saying, count your blessings, name them one by one, all the way, every day, is going to help. A thankfulness a day keeps the devil away, as well as a virtue a day. Third word, commitment. Be as committed as you can possibly be to the relationship in your life, and especially to your husband's relationship. At the moment. Now, why do I say at the moment? Because this is a moment-by-moment thing. Commitment isn't something you did when you got married. Commitment is an ongoing attitude. I am in this forever. And maybe we need to say that to each other and to ourselves every day of our lives. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no need of spoil. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so that he will have no need of spoil. So who can find this virtuous woman? Well, who imagines any man is searching the world for a woman who will break his heart? A man is looking for a woman who will look after his heart for him. Have you ever heard of a situation where a boyfriend says to his girlfriend, please tear this heart of mine into shreds for me? Dangle it over the fickle fancies of your unfair expectations. Play with it, manipulate it, break it for me, sweetheart. A queen of hearts has the sense to know a man needs a woman he can trust with his heart. That's the sort of woman that men are looking for. A woman who is faithful, out of sight. Now, Proverbs 12:4 says, a worthy wife is her husband's joy and crown. The other kind corrodes his strength and tears down everything he does. She that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. A worthy wife is her husband's joy and crown. The other kind corrodes his strength and tears down everything he does. Are you a worthy wife? Am I a worthy wife? Or are we the other kind? Now, that was a little phrase that caught my attention. And if you'll turn back in Proverbs to chapter 7, you'll see an example written down in black and white of the other kind of wife. First of all, she isn't faithful. Her husband cannot trust her with his heart when he's out of town. She's faithless. Look at verse 13, 14, and 15. Amazing verses. She gets out, uses her freedom to abuse it. She's down the street. She's loud and defiant. She's dressed like a prostitute. She's dressed vulnerably, sexually. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She takes hold of this guy that she finds. She kisses him with a brazen face. She says, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfill my vows. I've been to church. I'm a good Christian girl. I came out to meet you. I look for you and found you. I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey, took his purse filled with money. He won't be home till full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. What a picture of the wayward wife.
This is Telling the Truth, the teaching ministry of Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe. And today, Jill is talking about being queen of your husband's heart. She's right back with more. At the all-new TellingTheTruth.org, it's easier than ever to listen, read, watch, download, and share messages. You can go deeper than ever before with relevant Bible teaching from the Briscoes to help you experience life. Visit TellingTheTruth.org today. And remember, you can also give there to help keep the teaching you love on air and online. Again, it's TellingTheTruth.org, TellingTheTruth.org. Back to Jill Briscoe now on today's Telling the Truth.
Now, the Proverbs 31 woman, her feet never stayed at home, but she could be trusted in a world of men. And you know the thing that I have observed? A woman knows very well how to flirt, and a woman knows very well how to say, I am available, I am reachable, come and get me. We all know how to do that. And if you say, I don't believe you. Because I believe with our hearts that are sinful, we all know how to do it. And we don't reserve that for our husband, which is where it should be. We reserve the right to fall to temptation and to flirt. We all know how to do it. In the same sentence, I would say that we all know how not to do it. We all know how to say to a man, I am not available. I am spoken for. I am a faithful wife. We all know how to look at a man. And in that moment, we can be a Proverbs 7 woman, or a Proverbs 31 woman. That was my problem before I was converted. I probably did know it, but I used my eyes to talk. I had pretty eyes in those days. You can't see them anymore. There's too many wrinkles, but I did have pretty eyes. And I would flutter my eyelashes at these guys. And after I became a Christian, I was unaware. And one of the girls that was my leader in my Bible study group sat me down one day. I always remember it. She said, Jill, when are you going to start looking at a guy straight in the eyes? You're always looking under your eyelashes. It's very provocative. I said, am I? I remember going into my room and looking in the mirror. Do I do that? Realizing I did. And she said, quit it. Just quit it. Now you're a believer. And you know what I read that night in my Bible reading? It was from Job. And Job is saying how faithful he has been to the wife of his youth, who is not being very nice to him at the time. And he said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look seductively at maid. Isn't that incredible? I should read that. That very day that God's servant said to me, look a guy straight in the face, Jill. You're a believer now. You need to be a Proverbs 31 woman. And I remember going to the Bible study that night, and it was all joy. And I remember looking for men and walking up to them and going, and it was so releasing to look clean, to look straight, to look without a hidden message, without a hidden agenda, with a heart that was different and pure. And every single one of us need to guard our heart and remember that our husband expects to be able to trust us with his, and to guard our speech and to guard our dress and to really take this to heart. Because there's a looker and a taker out there. If you're going to be a Bathsheba, you know, if you're going to do it on the roof and let it all hang out, there'll be a David somewhere around. And what we need to do is get off the roof. And what we need to do is to look a guy straight in the eyes. And what we need to do is to remember that we can tell the men of our world, however young we are, however old we are, I'm not available. I'm taken. I'm God's. I'm a virtuous woman. So they were committed. And you know, I think of our lifestyle, and I would have to tell you in all honesty, both Stuart and I have had our opportunities to be unfaithful to each other. And we have had the pressures to be so. Living the lifestyle we lived for 10 years, with Stuart on the road and lonely, and with me at home and lonely. And we've had our opportunities. But we stood in front of God one day, and we made a commitment. In fact, before that, he gave me my ring. You've heard this story. And me waiting for all those romantic words, Shakespeare, Milton, what was it going to be? He simply put the ring on my finger and said, Jill, that's that. And it wasn't until later I realized the worth of that and how romantic that really was. That God gave me a man who made a that's that commitment. And I made a that's that commitment. Now, this is this. And the that's that commitment has to be lived out in the this, this. Moment by moment and day by day. And that's why I said at the beginning of this talk, be committed every morning of your life, fully, totally, to your husband that God has given you. Whether he is faithful or not is totally irrelevant. You're only responsible for your own attitude. He's responsible to God for his. And what we need to do is to commit. What we need to do is to build an altar and make a covenant with our eyes. What we need to do is to build an altar and meet with our husband there and reaffirm the fact we can be trusted out of sight. That's why I wear this pin. Our 38th wedding anniversary, Stuart gave me this. And it has a Bible verse on it. We got it in Ireland. It's hundreds of years old. And it has Mizpah on it. Because that's the place Laban and Jacob built an altar. As Jacob was leaving with Laban's two daughters. And Jacob said, let's stand before God and promise him that you're going to look after my girls. You're going to be faithful to them. And Jacob, if you're not, the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from another. That's the basis of Mizpah. And they called that place Mizpah, the place they promised God. And the word means watchtower. And Stuart and I built a watchtower. And we said, God is watching for our marriage. And the Lord will watch between thee and me while we are absent, one from another. And I'll be faithful and you'll be faithful. And it needs to be consistent all the days of his life. This woman could be trusted, it says, all the days. She would do him good, not harm. All the days. Some of the days, one day here. No, all the days of her life. So they were complementary. So they communicated what they wanted to say. They were consistent in their commitment, and they were contented. And here we have a woman who was making him happy, doing him good. Do you do your husband good? Are you a joy? Are you doing him good? Are you trying to make him good? Let me give you a hint. You make him happy, and God will make him good. Got it? And there are a lot of women that are trying to make him good, and that doesn't make him very happy. What you need to do is do him good. Do him good. Don't make him good. Just be his joy. And you'll find a response. Love him, bless him, enjoy him, affirm him, have fun with him, watch football with him. Instead of getting on to him about it. Appreciate him. Do him good. And I'm not saying that all of the above will have a reaction. That's determinism. I'll do this, that, and the other, and he'll do this, that, and the other. That's irrelevant. You're only responsible for what God requires of you as a virtuous woman and a virtuous wife. But the husband, I believe, will respond in kind. For after all, what does a man need? He needs a woman who does him good. And here in the chapter, we see him affirming her, telling her, praising her. Many women do wonderfully. You excel them all. You're the best. And you're mine. And he releases her, gives her space. For a man of quality is never threatened by a woman of equality. He's not threatened by his wife's gifts. And he's letting her go to be the woman that she should be, and he's encouraging her, and he's fulfilling her. He is making her radiant. Ephesians 5 says the husband loves his wife, even as Christ loves the church and presents the church to himself as a radiant bride. And the husband's job is to make you radiant, and your job is to do him good. And when we're both doing our part, you've got a perfect marriage. Perfect, not in the sense of perfect without any blemishes and spots and wrinkles. In fact, I should write a book, Marriage Without Wrinkles. You know, the picture of the bride without spots and wrinkles will happen one day in heaven when it's all perfect. But perfect being mature at the level that you're at. You know, God says, be thou perfect as I am perfect. He doesn't mean sinless. He means as mature as you can be at the stage of Christianity that you're at. Be perfect in that sense. Be shooting for the star. Be going for it, and you'll find that your marriage will be enriched. So be complimentary. Don't try to change him. Fill up that which is lacking. Accept the differences. Be contented with such things as you have. In your relationship with Christ, content of contentment is Christ. Be committed. That's that relationship. There's no option out. Maybe your marriage is burning like a building. Throw away the key to the fire escape, folks, and then both of you will fight the flames. If you think you've got an escape route, your marriage is never going to work. Be committed. That's that commitment. And be consistent all the days.
You're listening to Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe. And Jill's message, Queen of Your Husband's Heart. Coming up, Jill answers questions about contentment and warns about the dangers of manipulation. You know, when you give to Telling the Truth, you help people all over the world hear the teaching of the Briscoes. How do we know? Because of the letters, emails, and online posts we get from our listeners, letting us know how God is using you to help them experience the abundant life he offers. Kim wrote, "You are my company as I drive to work. Sometimes you make me laugh, other times I'm pricked to tears. In either direction, I give God the glory." And in response to a message on depression, we heard this from Narelle. "Stuart, it's a tough one because I always felt I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be depressed. That compounded things. Thank you again." Right now, when you give to keep this Tell Me the Truth broadcast on air and online, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ, we'll send you Pete's 6-message series, The Secrets of a Successful Marriage, to say thanks. Pete wants to help you tap into the source for creating a thriving marriage. So call today at 1-800-889-5388 and request this powerful series when you give. The number again, 1-800-889-5388. Now let's talk with Jill about a few ideas from today's message. Jill, what advice would you offer to someone who's struggling to find contentment in marriage? I mean, how have you done it?
We are so blessed with people who can help us. I have never known a more therapeutic Christian society that is available for us, truly Christianly therapeutic society. There are people to help us, and if you're struggling to find contentment in your marriage, then it could be for a thousand reasons, so it's impossible to answer this question with one line. What I would say is, go, if you're in a church, go to your pastor, say, "Where can I find help?" And they should be either able to help you themselves, or they should be able to say, "Here's a list of help lines." And I don't know where that is not available in cities and towns now in America. Somebody would be there to help you. Or it might be you walk into a Christian bookstore and the marriage books are legion. Just run your eyes along that. Ask the man in the Christian bookstore what would be a general help book to make a good marriage better. That's a way to ask him. So he doesn't think you're on your last legs in your marriage. But go into a Christian bookstore, and that is therapeutic, Christian therapeutic help, which is wonderful, written instead of sitting in front of somebody and hearing about it. And the other thing is, talk to each other about it. That's the last thing you will do and the last thing you want to do. And so that's why I say go find help first, and they'll help you with the way to start and talk about it. We don't know how to talk to each other, not about the deep things. And that's often where problems arise and they get so big. If we'd only find some way to talk to each other and diffuse the mounting irritation or whatever it is, then we wouldn't be in the mess we are with so many marriages today. If you don't know anyone to call, go into a Christian bookstore. I'm sure there's a Christian bookstore somewhere within the reach of most of us. And ask for the name of a well-known church just around you. And just walk in. All these churches have an office. And I can't believe there's any church that you would just walk in and not find help. So just take the initiative and go and find it for yourself.
Thanks, Jill. One last reminder that we want to send you Pete's best message teaching, The Secrets to a Successful Life, to thank you for giving to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Just call 1-800-889-5388 and with your gift, request this wonderful 6-message series. Pete shows you not only how to just stay married, but how you can also experience a rich, intimate, mind-blowing relationship with your spouse. Call today, 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Tomorrow, what does Proverbs 31 teach us about parenting? How can you be queen of your children's hearts? Be listening then and experience life with us here on Telling the Truth.